Okay. In honor of Hoshana Rabbah, I thought of learning about Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah, as we know, is not mentioned in the Torah. On the other hand, it's Mamash Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which, as most of you know, is one step over Midrabanan. It's right in the middle between Doraita and Drabanan, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And the question is, if it's not mentioned in the Torah, where does it come from? And maybe even more important, what's the idea? All right, if something's written in the Torah, we know that Pesach is Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim, Shavuot is Zecher L'Matan Torah, Sukkot, Abarbanel says it's Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Torat Yisrael. Pesach is Am Yisrael, Shavuot is Torat Yisrael, and Sukkot is Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about that once here. But the question is, what is Hoshana Rabbah about? And we're not going to talk about Shemini Atzeret, because that's a regel bifnei atzmo. That's a holiday in unto itself. But what is Hoshana Rabbah about? And Bezrat Hashem, we're going to see basically three explanations, with a couple of sub-explanations, which will help us understand it. Okay. Let's start with the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah, where we see already in the Mishnah, in the times of the Tanaim, it's Muvan Me'ilav. They take it for granted. Everybody knows what Hoshana Rabbah is. In other words, we're not talking about Lag Ba'omer, which appears relatively late, or Tu Bishvat, which is relatively minor. We're talking about Mamash. This is an essential part of the Torah Shabbal Peh, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Let's see source number one, Masechet Sukkah, Perek Dalid Mishnah Hey. Let me do the share screen. Host disabled participant screen sharing. Okay. So we'll do this Torah Shabbat Alpeh for the folks at home. Those here, you deserve the advantage of having the sheets. Okay. Mitzvah Arava Ketzad. What is the mitzvah of Arava? Makom haya lumata miYerushalayim v'nikra motza. Anybody today who drives around Yerushalayim knows Motza. There's a turn when you go from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. There's a turn off right outside of Yerushalayim called Motza. I looked it up today that it is officially part of Yerushalayim. There were terrible riots in Hebron, in Tarpat, in 1929, where they killed a lot of people there. The most famous was the Maklev family, where they wiped out an entire family of like 10 people. They did terrible things, not just killing them. And if you can imagine something worse than killing. And three children were able to survive. One of them, Chaim Maklev, was the third Ramatkal of Tzahal. And after what the Arabs did to his parents and all of his brothers and sisters, he dedicated his life to defending Am Yisrael. So that's what Motza is famous for in the modern era. But in the olden days, it was famous for Aravot. So people, they used to go down from the Beit HaMikdash to Motza. Yordim l'sham u'milaktim misham marvi'ot shel arava. They would take not a couple of twigs of Aravot, like we put in our lulav, but they would take huge branches and put them on the Mizbeach every single day of Sukkot. Ubain v'zokfin otam b'tzidei ha-mizbeach, v'roshehen kefufin al gabei ha-mizbeach, and they would be drooping over. We'll talk about that a little later. In English, at least in America, we're familiar with the weeping willow. Now, the weeping willow is not a kosher arava, but it's from the same family. If anybody bought aravot in Chutz Laaretz, there were aravos mitzeglach and unzeglach. In other words, with the saw and without the saw. With the saw, that's not kosher. And without the saw, or if there's little ridges, so that is kosher. And so we'll talk soon about the weeping willow. But they would have it droop over, just like the weeping willow droops down, and have it stand on the mizbeach, which was a pretty tall branch. We know that the tzedukim did not like this custom, And the Tzedukim did everything, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah talks about things that they used to do to actually play tricks on the Pharisees, the Prushim, that's us, in order to try and get out of this halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, because it's not written in the Torah, they just accepted the written law. Anyway, taku v'heriu v'taku. A lot of people don't realize that the Tkiat Shofar, which we always associate with Rosh Hashanah, and a little at the end of Yom Kippur, and also we know it from Hakel, we know it from the Yovel, there is a mitzvah to blow the shofar when they put the arava on the mizbeach. B'chol yom mekifin et ha-mizbeach pam echat. Every day in the Beit HaMikdash, as they put the willow, this huge branch, on the mizbeach, they would go around the mizbeach. Sound familiar? Right? This is the source of Hoshanot. Ve'omrim ana Hashem Hoshiana, ana Hashem Atzlichana, like we say in Hallel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ani vahu Hoshiana. This is, we really do both. Ani vahu Hoshiana, it's an interesting phrase. Me and God, we will save. Right? And obviously, I wouldn't have the chutzpah of putting ourselves and God in the same sentence.
And me first ahead of God.
Right. Who's first, right? Who's on
me
first?
And God, you know, it's like kids talk. Me and God, you know.
Right.
Well, you say the same thing every morning.
Yeah, yeah, to a certain extent. But here, it's like, it's very clear in Modani, who's the maker and who's the maked. Who is the creator and who is the created. By the way, if you ever speak with a Christian about the Trinity, that's always the big question you have to ask them. Is there a creator, and is there a created? Who is the creator? Who is the created? And anyway, ani vahu oshia na. And anybody who has any doubts about whether we are supposed to wait passively for Mashiach or to actively bring Mashiach, we say it every single day of Sukkot. That is exactly the pshat of ani vahu oshia na. And ve'oto yom, and that special day, the day of Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, mikifin et ha-mizbeach shiv'a pa'amim, exactly what we do. So this is from what was done in the Beit HaMikdash. They would do seven rounds. By the way, does that sound familiar? Seven rounds? Yeah. Where's that from? Yericho. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that we get it straight from Yericho, and this is going to be one of the major messages of Hoshana Rabbah. Our relationship and our wars with the Goyim. Okay, but that's just a drop of a foreshadow. Bishat Ptiratan, when people would leave the Mizbeach, again after putting up the branches and doing the hakafot, mahain omrin, what would they used to say? Yofi lach mizbeach. Yofi lach mizbeach. Kol hakavod, you are beautiful, mizbeach, that you mechaper, you atone for our sins.
The beauty belongs to you. The beauty is not just you are beautiful, it's beauty belongs.
The beauty belongs to you, mizbeach. Reb Eliezer Omer, Liyah v'lecha mizbeach. Liyah v'lach mizbeach. And here again, it sounds a little heretical, right? And they put God first, and we are praising God. The Parshanim say we thank God, and we also thank the mizbeach for atoning for us. We thank God, we praise Him, and we praise the mizbeach. And this idea of praising the Mizbeach together with praising God in the same sentence doesn't sound so straight, so monotheistic. But if we have time, we'll talk about that as well. So we see that the Mishnah 1,800 years ago already talks about there was this something that was done in the Mikdash. But I remember, the Mikdash was destroyed about the year 70 CE. So, it's not just that the Tannaim wrote this in the Mishnah. They are referring to what was done 200 years before them, and they have the Masorah of what this halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai was. What is this oral tradition? But again, the question is, why? What's it about? Before we get it to answer, let's just see Tosfot in source number 2, in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet. Tosfot says, Shel hayum me'abrin elul, u echad min achodashim, kishayu ro'im she'ira b'shabbat, shvi'i shel arava. Here we see another name for Hoshana Rabbah. It was called Shvi'i shel arava, the seventh day of Sukkot, which is the day of the arava. And what is Tosfot telling us? We know today Hoshana Rabbah never comes out on Shabbat. Because we use Hillel's calendar, which is set up from 1800 years ago. On the other hand, when they were Mekadesh Chodashim with witnesses seeing the new moon, they always made sure that Hoshana Rabbah will not fall out on Shabbat. To make sure that it would be Berovam Hadrat Melech, everybody would come to the Beit HaMikdash and do the Hakafot and see the Hakafot. And apparently, if the Jewish calendar is based on the importance of Hoshana Rabbah not falling out on Shabbat, this is a pretty important holiday. Right? And that's what I want to show. Not only is it higher than Durabanan, this Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai is really heavy. And the question is, and that's our topic, so what's it about? Let's look at the Levush, Source 3. I have to admit, I only saw the Levush today as I prepared the Shiur, and it sort of blew me away. It's one of those things that, how did I never heard this before? It's like, the Levush, as you know, he was a member of the same generation of the Rav Yosef Karo and the Rama. I don't want to get off on a historical tangent, but it's very interesting that three Gedolim in the same generation all started doing the same thing. They all realized in three different places of the world that the time had come, Liyasher Kav. We have to make a halacha, one halacha. This is after Gerush Sfarad, after the Jews were expelled from Spain and from Portugal, and they were coming to Turkey, and they were coming to Eastern Europe, they were going to Western Europe, they were going all around the world, and there was a total balagan in halacha. Just like today in Kibbutz Galiot, Lahavdil, Baruch Hashem, we have a happy balagan, that, you know, there's the Yemenite Nusach, and the Ethiopian, and the Iraqi, and Eastern Europe, and Hasidic, and there are so many Nuschaot. And that's what was happened after Gerush Sfarad, not just regarding Nusach of Davening, regarding Minhagim, regarding marriage, regarding, there was a lot of confusion. And therefore, there was a need. And the fact that three great Rabbanim were working on the same thing simultaneously, that just proves how much there was a need for it. And what happened was, when the Ramah found out that the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, what he did, he stopped working on it. And he said, okay, Rabbi Yosef Karo, he was famous. They spoke of giving him smicha to restart the Sanhedrin in Tzfat. So who am I? What am I? The Rama said, okay, I'll go back to learning. But then when he saw the Beit Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, he said, he is not fair to the Ashkenazim. Because he's basically following the Rambam and the Rif. Yeah, sometimes he brings the Rush, and sometimes he brings Tosfot, but it's a stacked deck. Because if he follows two out of three, and the two are the Rif and the Rambam, so they're always going to win. And so the Rama went back to doing it again. If I remember correctly, he stopped and he started three times. The Levush just kept working. And he didn't realize that other people were doing the same thing that he was doing. And Am Yisrael accepted the Beit Yosef, and Ashkenazim accepted the Rama. But the Levush, you have to, I tell you that you should appreciate who is the Levush. He is a major league posek. It happened that, compared to Rav Yosef Karo, nobody else is accepted as Rav Yosef Karo. But he had the misfortune of being in the same generation. If we would have done it maybe a generation before, we would all be learning the Levush instead of the Shulchan Aruch. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he runs history, for sure. He runs the Torah world. The Levush writes as follows. Kvarya, by the way, let's jump to the end of Levush. Rav Mordechai Yaffe, if I remember correctly. Jaffe. If you know the Jaffe family, it's a common Jewish family, the Jaffes. There's a big Jaffe family in Cleveland.
Yeah.
They are connected with the Levush. Let's skip to the end of Source 3, because I see that people are already tired. But Vezenireli, you see where it's in bold letters? Zenireli ta'am barur misodot ta'amei ha-Torah. Hashem yidbarach yareinu niflaot mitorato. In other words, he is really mapsut, as they say. He is really happy with his chidush, that he has unlocked the secret of Hoshana Rabbah. Okay? Now that I hope I got your attention at 11:30 at night, we are now going to see it. The Levush says as follows, or for those at home, you're going to hear it. Kvar yadata, sheshnat chama yetera al shnat halivana. Asara yamim, 21 hours, and 204 chalakim. We all know that the lunar year is 354 days. The solar year, here we have a specialist in the solar, is 365 days. There is almost 11 day difference of the calendar. Now, Ulefize Bekaltu Chalavin, he says, it's very easy to understand where Hoshana Rabbah comes from. She'im kavanu Rosh Hashanah berishon biyom ha-molad kasher ra'ui liyot. When Rosh Hashanah comes out, as soon as we see the first moon, day, the new moon, on the first day of Tishrei, lo yichale ota shana, shnat ha-chama, ela, I think it should be a chet there, lo mishaneh, ela kamo asara yamim achar ha-molad shel Tishrei haba. In other words, if Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei this year, and it's obviously always going to be Aleph Tishrei every year, but in the second year, the solar year is Aleph Tishrei and another 10 days, which is Yom Kippur. In other words, Yom Kippur is the solar Rosh Hashanah. What's going to be in the third year? We're now on Yud Tishrei, is the solar year. What's going to be the next year? Kaf Tishrei. Hoshana Rabbah. Kaf Aleph. It's 10 plus, which is almost 11. So it comes out, what is Hoshana Rabbah's Kaf Aleph. So it's Kaf Aleph. Bekitzor, Kaf Aleph Tishrei is the solar Rosh Hashanah every third year. Now, what is the idea of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, we know, is a day of introspection. It's just like a birthday, lahavdil, for the individual. What happens on your birthday every day, the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes about this, every year on your birthday you should take stock on what I've done, on what I should be doing this coming year. Right? Every person, his whole life should be growing. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. What did I do this year? Now, usually we count according to the solar year. But the lunar year, array, the whole idea of having an extra Adar like we have this year, and it comes out about every third year. The third year, the sixth year,
7 out of 19.
Eighth year, it's about every third year, 7 out of 19. The idea is to realign the solar and the lunar calendar. To summarize this point, again, I didn't see it anywhere else, but the Levush is definitely happy with this Kiddush. I don't know if at 11:30 at night you people are so excited about the Kiddush, but it is a big Kiddush. That Hoshana Rabbah is Rosh Hashanah, is one of the Rosh Hashanah. And that is where we get Hoshana Rabbah from, according to the Levush. The second approach, the Rambam, by the way, I started with the Levush because it's the biggest chidush. It's not the most accepted opinion, but it is a big chidush. The Rambam in Hilchot Shofar V'Sukkah, Perikhet, talks about another halakha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which is the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. If you remember, we spoke about that 1 year on Leil Sukkot. Rav Kook asks, why is it called Simchat Beit HaShoeva, of drawing the water? And it should be, the mitzvah is to pour the water. And to pour the water on the Mizbeach. Drawing the water is just a preparation. And that, if you remember, Rav Kook says that the whole idea of Chag HaSukkot is to teach us that the entire year, which is a preparation for Chag HaAsif, we are plowing and planting and watering, the whole agricultural year is a preparation for that reaping that we finally have in our house. But Judaism says, Yesh Erech Baderech, that there is value not just in the fruit, but also in the tree. And this is how, just to remind those who were in the class, that Tama Itz Ketama Pri, that was the original plan, how the world was supposed to be created. And the ideal is to find, if 90% of life is preparation, which it is, just like the tree is 90% tree, right? If you look at 30 feet of roots and 30 feet of trunk, and then a heck of a lot of branches and a lot of leaves, and finally till you get a little fruit, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu invest so much time in the tree? The idea is to teach us that that really is life. Most of life is sleeping and eating and getting dressed and working and putting bread on the table. And most of life is preparation. And if we want to have taste in life, and 90% of life is preparation, then we have no choice but to try and find a way to have taste in the tree, not just in the fruit. And that's part of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, where even if you plant a tree and it dies, or you work the land and there's a drought, you have done mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because Yishuv Eretz, when you walk in Eretz Yisrael, walking 4 steps is a mitzvah. Usually in most places in the world, you walk as a tree, as a means to get from here to there. In Eretz Yisrael, walking has taste in the tree, just like in the fruit. But that was a whole shiur in unto itself. Anybody wants to find it, you can find it on YU Torah. The Rambam, when he talks about Simchat Beit HaShoeva, this is where he talks about the importance of doing Avodat Hashem b'Simcha. We all remember that Chag HaSukkot, the second nickname, is Zman Simchatenu. It is called Chag. When you stam say Chag, it's talking about Sukkot. It is the happiest day of the happiest of the holidays. Now, let's just see the Rambam in source 4. Afal pishe kol ha-mo'adot mitzvah lismoach behen, rak v'samachta v'chagecha, as in all 3 festivals, and even in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah v'samachta v'chagecha, right? Where if you, Yishai ben Mordechai walks around with his tobacco to smell, there is a mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov on Yom Kippur. And on, for sure, on Rosh Hashanah. But for sure, on the 3 festivals. B'chag HaSukkot, hayta sham b'migdash simcha yeterah. We're always happy on the holidays, but there's a special happiness on Sukkot. And what was this special happiness? She'ne'amar u'smachtem lifnei Hashem lokechem shiv'at yamim. That's referring to Sukkot. וכיצד היו עושים ערב יום טוב ראשון, היו מתקנים במקדש מקום לנשים מלמעלה ולנשים מלמטה. This is the source for the מחיצוה in Beit Knesset, between men and women. כדי שלא יתערבו, so that they shouldn't mix אלו עם אלו. ומתחילים לסמוח, on מוצאי יום טוב, notice, on the first day of יום טוב, there wasn't a שמחה בית השואבה. Because everyone was playing and dancing and lighting avukot, torches and everything. And but the first day of Chol HaMoed, it was a big party. Second day of Chol HaMoed was a bigger party. Third day of Chol HaMoed was a bigger party. When was the largest party?
Hoshana Rabbah.
So the Hoshana Rabbah is the climax of Zman Simchatenu. And that is one of the explanations of why in Galut, when Hoshana Rabbah is an anomaly, like we said, most people don't know what a Hoshana Rabbah is about, so the second day of Hoshana Rabbah is even more of a, you know, Simchat Torah is even more of a question mark, Shmini Atzeret, and then Simchat Torah, you have like 3 days that nobody knows what it's about, so that's where they came up with the idea of Simchat Torah. There are a lot of other explanations, but let me just... Large left the screen. Here we go.
Where the boss asking you why you have to take a while, off so many days from work.
In Chutz Laretz.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that is the second point. What is the third point? So what we've seen till now is Hoshana Rabbah is a solar Lashon Rosh Hashanah. The second point, it is the height, the climax of Zman Simchatenu. Let's look in Source 5. Totally different aspect. The Talmud Bavli, Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hani Shivim Parim Keneged Mi. There are 70 male bulls which are sacrificed on the holiday of Sukkot. First day 13, second day 12, third day 11. Altogether 70. What is the number 70 in Judaism? Shivim umot ha'olam. Where does that number come from? If you count the children of Noach, there are 70 children of his children and grandchildren that are mentioned there in Parshat Noach. So that's the concept of Shivim. So, the 70 korbanot, that is kineged, parallel to the 70 nations. Par yechidi lama. But why, in addition to the 70, do we also give another individual par? Keneged Uma Yechida. That is for Am Yisrael. Mashal Melech Basar Vadam Sheamar Lavadav. Asuli Su'uda Gdola. A king told his servants, make me a big feast. Liyom Acharon, but on the last day, Shmini Atzeret, Amar La'oavo, he tells his friend, you know what this mamash reminds me, I remember. What happens at the end of a wedding? Most of you looking around, most of you have wed your children. And, you know, you've been preparing for this day for months, usually. And I'm talking about a big pre-Corona wedding. BC, they call it, before Corona.
Yeah.
And at the end of the Shev Brachot, and almost everyone's gone, and who sticks around? Your best friend. The two closest families, the closest relatives, and there's like a special atmosphere of, okay, everyone's left, it's just us. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the end of 7 days of Sukkot. You have to remember, the Goyim also used to come to the Beit HaMikdash. And today, the Feast of the Tabernacles, they don't do it now with Corona, you remember every year, all of these Noahides and a lot of Gentiles come to Yerushalayim, and it's based on Zechariah, where the Navi says that the entrance exam into Yemot HaMashiach is Goyim who celebrate Sukkot. And the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah tells us that most of the Goyim are going to fail the test. But today, there are plenty of Goyim who do pass the test, and they come to Yerushalayim and celebrate Sukkot as a universal holiday. And so today, it's that way. And that's the way it was. In other words, Sukkot has this universal aspect to it. The Talmud Yerushalmi, in Source 6, we mentioned before, when I asked you, where does this idea of surrounding the Mizbeach 7 days on Hoshana Rabbah, where does that come from? We said Yericho. Oto Ayom, this is Yerushalmi, Sukkah Perek Dalid, Source 6. Oto ayom mekifin et hamizbeach sheva pa'amim. Amar Rabbi Acha, zecher liyericho. Right? That might also be where the shofar is from. Yafeh. In other words, we see that there is something going on in the relationship between Jews and the nations of the world towards the end of Sukkot. Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeret. Let's go on. Midrash Tehillim. Source 7. And here is the punchline. Lefichach amar David, This is in Midrash Tehillim, Mizmor Yud Zayin. Lefichach amar David, todieni orachayim, sovas machot et panecha. Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 16. What is it talking about? Sovas machot, I am satiated with happiness. Chazal say, that is talking about aseret yemei tshuva, shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. There are those that say that the drasha is sova, like from the word sheva, that there are 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, between Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. Mahu ni'imot bimincha netzach, the continuation there in Tehillim Tetzayin. What does it mean literally? Ni'imot, the pleasant things in your right hand are victory. Right? Anybody who knows Chazal know that when you have a pasuk here that is not given to translating, right? You can't translate that. What does it mean? What's it talking about?
Again,
the pleasant is in your right hand, victory. Amar Rabbi Avin, ze hadas velulav va'arava shehin ni'imot. They are pleasant. I don't know if you people noticed that part of the idea of the Arbat Aminim, especially when you shake them, not just during the mid, you know, usually when, especially women at home, you know, do it pretty quickly, but during Hallel, did you notice that there is that rubbing of the etrog gives out a very nice fragrance? And this is called ni'imot. All right, when Chazal talk in Masechet Shabbat about Ze'ili Anvehu, this is my God and I will make him beautiful. And obviously, in idolatry, you would make your idol beautiful. But in monotheism, where God doesn't have a body, how do you make God beautiful? Because I'll say, do the mitzvot beautifully. What are the first two mitzvot to do beautiful? First two examples there. Make a beautiful lulav and a beautiful sukkah. They don't say make a beautiful matzah for Pesach or make a beautiful Chanukiah. That's true. But when Chazal talk about the Hidur Mitzvah, the concept of Prietz Hadar, physical beauty, is especially important on Sukkot. And when Chazal say, how do we know what a Hadas is? Hadas is called Anaf Eitz Avot. It's a tree which is clustered, crowded. So, we know from the oral law that it's talking about the Hadas, the myrtle. But the Gemara says, well, how do I know it's not talking about a harduf? Maybe it's talking about a harduf. And a harduf apparently is a cactus. And the Gemara answers, it can't be talking about a cactus because derachea darchei no'am v'chol netivot ha'shalom. The mitzvot are supposed to be pleasant. So when we talk about pleasant mitzvot, ni'imot, is talking about the Arbat Aminim. What other word in the Pasuk also is hinting to the Arbat Aminim? Bimincha. And notice, it talks about the Lulav, the Adasim, and the Arabah. Doesn't mention the Etrog, because we're talking about in your right hand. I'll just mention parenthetically that the Kabbalists, lefties, take the Lulav and Etrog the same way as right-handed people. Ashkenazim don't. But one of the reasons what we're talking about here, because the Yimincha Netzach, the idea of the, as we'll see soon, the Lulav, it symbolizes victory. Okay, so what have we seen? We've seen, again, what is the Pasuk? Ni'imot Bimincha Netzach. Ni'imot is talking about the special species of Sukkot. Bimincha, in your right hand, again, Ve'amri Rabbanan lulav b'yamin ve'etrog b'smol. B'mincha is talking about the three species in our right hand. Matam nimod b'mincha netzach. B'mishu notel lulav b'yamin v'notzeach uba'in. Pretty soon we'll see what that means. Right? Somebody who takes a lulav in his right hand and he is victorious. B'nohag sheba'olam handaisin ratzin b'ifarkus. If anybody is interested in Gersaot, whenever you have a Greek word that most of the Jews of its generation did not understand Greek. Yoshua, do you speak Greek?
No, speak it. I learned classical Greek. I didn't speak it.
I figured if somebody in the world knows Greek, it would be Yeshua. My father-in-law, Zichron Alevrecha, learned Greek. That was like a European thing to do. But most Jews did not know Greek. And that's why when there's Greek in Midrashim or in the Gemarot, whoever copied it over didn't know what he was copying. So the words just get totally miscombobulated. And that's what we always look in today. Baruch Hashem, we have these scientific editions. And it explains what are these words, or close to these words, in Greek. It is talking about, you remember they used to have the hippodrome, where they would have horse races.
Yeah.
And if somebody had won the horse race, or the Olympics, when people raced each other, the guy who won would take a bayon. What does that remind you of in English?
Bayonet.
Right. They would take a bayon, is like a staff, and in some of the commentaries, they say they would actually take, you know, the winner, they would give him a...
laurel wreath.
A laurel wreath on his head, and he would hold a kanaf etzavot. A kanaf kapot marim. Palm tree, a palm branch. He would take a lulav. And the Chazal are telling us that that is the lulav. That is the symbolism of the lulav. That we have come out victorious. Kach b'rosh Hashanah ba'in kol ba'e olam. All of the Gentiles, all of the 70 nations, they come to Yerushalayim. Volvrim lifanav kivnei maron. I'm sorry. That's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Notice, on Rosh Hashanah, it says all of the people in the world, not just the Jews, come before God. And there is this Yom Hadin. God judges all of mankind on Aleph Tishrei. Ve'af Yisrael ovrin lefanav im kol ba'olam. And Am Yisrael, also, obviously, we also are judged on Aleph Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. Vesarei umota olam, the angels of the Gentiles, nations, omrim anu nitzachnu v'zachinu bedin. We have won, the Jewish people. Ve'en adam yodea mi nitzach. And people don't know who really is victorious, because the angels of the Gentile nations, they claim that they are victorious. Im Yisrael notzchim umota olam. Avar Rosh Hashanah. Okay. The first day of Tishrei has passed. V'chol Yisrael ba'im b'yom ha'kippurim u'mitanim bo. That the Gentiles already don't do. They don't do 10 days of tshuva. They don't do Yom Kippur. V'lovshim b'gadim levanim v'na'im. We dress up like angels in white clothes on Yom Kippur. Avar Yom ha'kippurim v'ein adam yodea mi notzeach im Yisrael im umot ha'olam. We don't know, we still don't know the verdict. We all know from Unetane Tokev, and it's based on Chazal, B'Rosh Hashanah Yikatevun, V'yontzom Kippur Yechatemun. So our year is written down what's going to be health, wealth, happiness, Geula, Chalila, right? That is all decided on Rosh Hashanah. That's written down on Rosh Hashanah. Excuse me. When is it sealed? That is on Yom Kippur. But thank God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an appeal court. The appeal is on Hoshana Rabbah. And a lot of people know that, yeah, there is this concept of Pit Katava. Right? We have so many ways of blessing each other. Right? There's Ktiva V'Chatima Tova, then Gemar Chatima Tova, then Chatima Tova, and then Chag Sameach. And then what's afterwards? What's after? Modim L'Simcha Chol HaMoed. And then what do we do for Rosh Hashanah Rabbah? Pit Katava. What is that Pit Katava? It means that God, who is our Father, our loving Father, He gives the Jewish people a special appeal. And maybe again, if you take the different reasons and put them together, if Hoshana Rabbah has a certain aspect of the solar Rosh Hashanah, like we saw in the Levush, then we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like after the first 10 days, He seals it, but He gives us another 10 days. We all know this from our children. Just by the way, there's a good tip for most of you already have grandchildren. Something I learned from grandparents: it's always a good idea to take one grandchild at a time. You know, out, go on a teal with one time this grandchild, then the next. It's great for bonding, and he or she really feels special. And we just did that during Chol HaMoed. We took one of Netanel's daughters, Geffen, and we spent the whole day just with this one granddaughter. And, you know, because usually when the whole family gets together, you know, B'liyan Hara, we have 10 grandchildren, everyone's always running around, and they're playing, they ignore the grandparents and the parents. And the kids are, we all know that. And, but this way, it really is the best way of bonding with one of the grandchildren. And we went to Chavot Yair. There's a great playground there with a great omega. And anybody who knows omegas knows that usually when there's a park with a nice omega, there's a long line.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fun. Like, La Havdil in Disneyland, you know, you wait 2 hours for a ride. Part of the fun is waiting those 2 hours, you know. Gadol hatzipiyah mi-hayishua. But on the other hand, I'm a grandfather. What I want, I want to just do it. And, you know, we have another stop. And so I do the omega. She says, let's do it again. I do it again. Let's do it again. I do it again. I say, okay, now we have to go on. We told Ema's friend that we're going to go visit her. And she said, no, let's just do it 2 more times. Okay, so we do it 2 more times. And then she said, having such a good time. You know, that's what we want. So she says, 1 more time. Now, what father, a kavucho or grandfather, would not do that 1 more time? You know, it's Chol HaMoed, I have time, you know, so I'll come a minute later to my wife's friend, you know. I don't mind coming 10 minutes later to my wife's friend. But the kids were, you know, of course I'm going to give that 1 more time. And that is what Hoshana Rabbah is about. If we blew it on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a second time, that's Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a third time, 1 more time, Hoshana Rabbah. I'll mention parenthetically, even if somebody blows it by Hoshana Rabbah, every day is good to do tshuva. But we all know that it's good to have those 20 days that are dedicated to doing tshuva, wipe the slate clean, get a new start, mit kadem, improve yourselves to where you want to be, right? So it's good. And the idea of Hoshana Rabbah is not just 10 days. Why just 10 days? Let's do 20 days. And especially when we're talking about national issues between Am Yisrael and the Goyim. Avar Rosh Hashanah, Avar Yom Kippur, again, Yom Kippur is just us, Ein Adam, yet we still don't know if we're going to have a successful year with the local yokels, the Gentiles. Kevan shigia yom tov arishon shel chag, when the first day of Sukkot comes, v'chol Yisrael gedolim uktanim notlim lulavim biminam. Notice that even children used to walk around with the lulav and etrog. V'etrogehem b'smolam. Again, what are we darshaning? What's the pasuk? Nimot b'yamincha netzach. What is that lulav and the etrog is small. You don't really see it, but that. The pole, the lulav. Miyara kol yodin shi Yisrael notzchim bedin. Because again, where does this come from? This is the olden day Olympics that the winner gets the spear. He gets, when we walk out with the spear, that is a sign of Zman Simchatenu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on our side.
V'chevan
shi'higia yom Hoshana Rabbah. Now this is the first day of victory. Second day, victory parade. Third day, victory parade. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. 7 days of the victory parade. Umikifin, we know who won. We, on the seventh day, we go 7 times around the Mizbeach. Again, what did the Yerushalmi tell us? What does it remind us? Yericho, where the walls come tumbling down. V'chazana Knesset Omed K'malach Elohim. Notice, it's a drop different from our Minagim today. Just read it with a magnifying glass, because I won't get into it. So the Chazan, he wears the kittel. Notice, The Mishnah Brura talks about, the Rama brings down some kilot, they wear a kittel, some don't wear a kittel, some have just a chazan wearing the kittel. The Mishnah Brura says that's what we do. Notice, this is the original minhag. V'sefer Torah Bizro'o. Who is holding the Sefer Torah? The chazan used to hold the Sefer Torah in the middle of the shul. By the way, this sounds like Simchat Torah. Right? This is what we do on Simchat Torah, where the Torah is in the middle, and we do the hakafot around the Torah, especially Sfaradim. And this reminds us of what we used to do in the altar, in the Beit HaMikdash. Shekach shanu rabotenu b'chol yom ayu mikifinu at mizbeach. V'omrim ana Hashem Oshiyana. Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Notice, what is ana Hashem Oshiyana? God, save us from those Gentile nations. They're always giving us problems. You know, every Purim at the Su'uda, we talk about the Haman of the year. Now, I've been a balabos. I've had children 35 years already. It's unbelievable how every single year there's another anti-Semite who we can bring his picture to the Purim table and say, he's the Haman of the year. Even Ahmadinejad, you know, was pretty bad. He's not there anymore. What's the name of the new guy there in Iran?
Raisi, I think.
We'll remember his name
Raisi,
by...
Raisi.
By Purim, we'll have to remember his name. Maybe there'll be another Purim. But yeah, that's the problem. Zachor. We have to obliterate their name. Anyway, there are...
He'll be dead by then.
But the Jewish people have so many problems. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, we say with the lulav and etro, God save us from the goyim. Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, that we should be successful. Ubiyom Hashvi'i. By the way, it's so unfortunate that people, especially if they learn all night, rush through Hoshanot. Personally, the Hoshanot tefillot are the most emotional tefillot of the year, even more than Yom Kippur for me, because Yom Kippur, you got it one here and another one there, one 10 minutes later, one a half hour later. Hoshanot, they are one after the other, but you have to pay attention to it.
Can't keep up.
That's why I stopped being chazan during Hoshanot, because if you want to appreciate it, you come out crying. It is very strong. And especially if you understand, it's like P-U-T, so it's poetic, so sometimes it's living. I strongly suggest, especially, you know, especially the women, you don't have so much time, do the last couple of Hoshanot. Read the Herot, right, in Rinat Yisrael or Artsko, whatever, they have the Herot at the bottom. They are so emotional. Damtala Tamar. You fall in love with Am Yisrael. You fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You fall in love, and you get to a state where you just can't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let us down. Ana Hashem Hoshi. And that's what Hoshana Rabbah. What is Hoshana Rabbah? Hare, what are the punchlines of Hoshana, Hoshana? In Yiddish, you say Hoshanas. Or in English, the Hoshanas. That's what Hoshana Rabbah is about. We are coming at the last possible minute. Again, Rosh Hashanah is over. Yom Kippur is over. This is the 90th minute, as they say in the soccer, even after the 90th. Zman Ksiot, right? After the 90th, how's it called in English?
Injury time.
And the gates are really closing.
In baseball, you say extra innings.
Extra innings.
starting with a runner on second base.
Bekitsur. I brought for you just some of the Hoshanot at the end. Let's jump to source 14. Hoshanot. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Ana Elna. Hoshana. Vehoshiana. Ana Elna. Hoshana. Vehoshiana. Avinuata. Hoshana. El Ana. Hoshiana. If you say it with Kavana, you cannot not get emotional. Hoshana, Slachna, Hatzli. It's very simple, very pashut, to the point, even a kindergarten kid can understand that we are pleading. We can't even word, we can't articulate our tefillot. Right? It's pretty primitive, these tefillot. But that is the way we are turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Father in Heaven. Voshienu el ma'uzenu, rachemna kahal adat yeshurun, slach umechal avonam, voshienu Elohei yishenu. And then what's the punchline? Kol mevaser mevaser v'omer. And when we shake the Hoshanot, by the way, we don't have time to do all the sources, but you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to shake the Hoshanot, not just hold them. And shaking the Hoshanot is connected with what is the din of Chag HaSukkot, Mesachet Rosh Hashanah. There are four Rosh Hashanot. What is the Rosh Hashanah? Let's jump back to source number 8. Barba Prakim Olam Nidon Ubechag. What is Holiday of Sukkot? Nidonim Al Hamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us regarding how much water there is going to be. And you know what? Even today, when we have desalinization, you know that when we had desalinization for a long time, but when the Arabs turn the water of the Kinneret and of the Yarden to Jordan or to Syria, that started the Six-Day War. You cannot function without water. And desalinated water is not the same thing as rainwater. Rainwater is sweet, and rainwater comes down gently compared to when you just flood. There's nothing. Yeah, speak to any Chaklai, speak to Sarfati or Tzipilevich. All of them will tell you there is no comparison, rainwater with irrigation. And we need rainwater. And it's not just to drink. It's to do laundry. It's to wash the floors. Now, this is even in the modern day. Can you imagine how people in the olden days used to feel? What is Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshana Rabbah is the borim, the water, how do you say? The water system, which collected the rain from last winter, is already empty. And we're gored, we're scraping the last drops of water. Remember Eliyahu HaNavi and Har HaKarmel? Eliyahu HaNavi and Har HaKarmel, what's been going on? I remember in elementary school, they taught us that Eliyahu HaNavi asked, if I remember correctly, 12 times to bring barrels of water. More barrels of water. Pours the water on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Pours it all around the Mizbeach. What they taught us in elementary school is that, why does Eliyahu want to wet the Mizbeach and wet it all around? What do you remember? Anybody remember?
Fire safety.
What?
Fire safety.
Right. Because it makes it that much more difficult to light the Mizbeach. So if God is going to light the Mizbeach, that is a supernatural miracle. I remember when I was Rosh Mosh in Camp Mosheva, we used to take the kids out on Machanot Chutz. And in America, people will remember, it rains in the summer. And it's very difficult to plan a camp when you don't know. And sometimes, you know, we just don't have any rainy day activity. Today it's much easier. You know, you got films and YouTubes and everything. We just used to show Entebbe every time it rained.
Right.
They knew that movie by heart. We are going on a long and dangerous mission to save Jews, and only because they are the Jews. And if we don't save them, nobody will.
You could have played our
So the pshat is that there were 3 years of drought that Eliyahu was gozer decreed. Achav, the king of Israel, the king of the 10 tribes, he's running around like a poor man looking for water. Even the king doesn't have water. And Eliyahu takes barrels of water, pours them on the Mizbeach. Can you imagine Achav's face when he's... Remember, water is more expensive than gold at this stage. 3 years of drought, he's pouring water and more water. They don't dare start out with him. But they say, what is he doing? And then you could understand when the lightning comes from heaven and lights up the altar, and all these people, boing, Hashem Elokim, God, he is the real God. That is what we're doing on the Nisul Hamayim. What is the Nisul Hamayim?
Priming the pump.
The water. We're gathering the last drops of water from the winter, and we're pouring them on a mizbeach, and we're saying we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. What is the idea of the rustling of the Aravot? By the way, notice this tomorrow. It sounds like rain. When you rustle, you're supposed to minameya. Don't just hold them. You're supposed to shake them. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. You shake them, and it sounds like rain.
Well, it's reminiscent of the wind blowing before the rain comes down. Mm.
And the Arava, remember the weeping willow? When does he weep, especially when he's short on water? You look, tomorrow morning, you look at your Arba Minim, which of the four species is always in the worst shape? It's always the Arava, because he needs water. And that is the symbolism of we need God. We are His children. Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. And even if it didn't work on Rosh Hashanah, even if it didn't work on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do not let us down. We've been walking around, you remember, the original minhag of Eretz Yisrael was to walk around with the lulav and etrog 7 days, all day. Children, that's heavy.
And that's before they had the plastic things to not get poked.
Bekitzur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you not give us that one more time? One more time, Abba. One more time, Saba. And that's what Hoshana Rabbah is about. To summarize what we saw, and you'll notice the ta'amim sort of overlap. There is the idea of that Rosh Hashanah, like the Levush says, that just like Rosh Hashanah is the lunar Rosh Hashanah, Hoshana Yom Kippur is the solar Rosh Hashanah, and afterwards Hoshana Rabbah is the next year's solar Hoshana Rabbah. In other words, it's Yom Hadin. What is it Yom Hadin about? Well, the Mishnah tells us that Hashem is deciding how much rain He's going to give us, i.e., what parnasa He's going to give us for the year. We also saw it is the day that Hashem judges us between us and the Gentiles. What kind of year is Am Yisrael going to have? And the Simcha builds. That's the third time. Again, the first is it is a solar Rosh Hashanah. The second is this Yom Hadin. And the third, maybe I can't not mention a third thing that we skipped, but it's so beautiful. Chazal point out that the Aravot are shaped like lips. And just like the Hadassim look like the eye, and they are mechaper, they atone for sins that we do with our eyes. The Etrog atones for sins that we do with our heart, it's shaped like a heart. The Lulav is shaped like, it's like the spinal cord, for those who understand, Yesod, sins that are connected with Yesod. And the Aravot, they're in the worst shape. Because it's sin that's connected with the lips, with speaking. And that is part of the din, also of Hoshana Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us from our sins of Lashon Hara, of not fulfilling our Nidarim. Remember, Sukkot is the end of the Nidar year, right? Begins from Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Lo Tacher L'Shalmo is three regalim, ending with Shavuot. Bikitzur, it is also the climax of Simcha. We are walking around, confident after Yom Kippur, happy with our spear. We are Ni'imot b'mincha netzach. We are going to be victorious. And that's what Hoshana Rabbah is about. And I hope tomorrow morning, when we say, go through the Hoshanot, especially the last couple of Hoshanot, and especially when we get to that this year should be a year of Geulah, and a year of health, and no Corona, and a year of Kibbutz Galiot, and I honestly don't know what people used to think about when they said Hoshanot before we came back to Israel, and before we started having rain and having land and trees and an army. But today, Hoshanot should be so meaningful, especially, again, even if you don't have time, at least concentrate on the last couple of Hoshanot. They are extremely moving Hoshanot. And this is our last time before the judge hits the gavel.
And holding up the symbolic.